This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here, White House, Tennessee. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We got the King of Connecticut coming up a little bit later on this hour, Will Hill. But right now, a pleasure to welcome back to the program. Zachary Cohen does a great job here at VSiN.com, senior editor, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Wherever you get your pod, please like and subscribe and download it today. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Zach, lots to get to with you. Obviously, the All England Club Wimbledon that we'll get to shortly. But we got to ask you, now that the dust has settled and Giannis Antetokounmpo is down there in Miami, we've seen the numbers move, NBA draft has come and gone. Your preliminary thoughts now, and we see Charlotte's making a whole bunch of moves. Do we anticipate more potential big moves? I know we're waiting on LeBron and the like here. What else do you think we might see coming down the horizon?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a ton of action. Like, I think as early as this morning, I woke up and saw Shams Charania from ESPN saying that there's legitimate, you know, movement on a Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors move. That's something that I think can really put Toronto into the conversation in the Eastern Conference, depending on what they give up. If it just ends up being Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, and a couple of picks, and you can hold on to guys like Scotty Barnes, Colin Murray, Boyles, RJ Barrett, I think that that's a team that all of a sudden has a lot of size, toughness, and shot making. So I think Toronto is a team to watch right now. If they do end up bringing Kawhi back, that's something that I think potentially changes the Eastern Conference. And then Jaylen Brown, I still think he's going to be moved. I feel like that situation has just gotten really ugly, and he wants out of Boston bad. So I think the Celtics are going to try to find something that helps them enough this year. But I ultimately think that that's going to be a move that takes the Celtics out of the conversation in the Eastern Conference if they can't find a good enough package for Brown that includes all-stars for this year.
Okay, Zach, let me stay with you on the Eastern Conference. We've seen Charlotte now just be incredibly active, not only in the trade front, but the free agency front. Make sense of where they are to date. What has transpired? And then does it really affect, again, I know we've between 90 and 100 to 1 right now for the Hornets to win it all. But I think more so, I know you, JVT, a lot of people looking at them as a potential kind of wait and see spot. Where are we now with what's transpired to this point, and what else do you think they have on the docket to be able to finish up as far as roster construction?
I do think it kind of takes them out of the mix of the Eastern Conference. Like, I am a big LaMelo Ball fan. I know that he has a lot of faults. I know that he has trouble staying healthy, but in terms of on-ball creation and his ability to apply rim pressure on opponents, you're just really missing that now if you're looking at this Hornets roster. But Charlotte, what they do have now is like an OKC-like stockpile of draft picks, collection of young talent. This is a team that, like, in 3 to 5 years, we're going to be talking about as a potential powerhouse in the Eastern Conference. Like, there are moves they can make today if they want to be aggressive. If they want to go out and get Jaylen Brown, they could maybe entice, you know, the Boston Celtics with an offer that includes 4 or 5 draft picks. But I think this is a team that we're now thinking about maybe being 2 or 3 years away from being, you know, a true contender. But when they do become a contender, it'll be, you know, an NBA title contender, not just an Eastern Conference contender. And I think it's one that will be there for a very long time.
Zach, we had this conversation a week ago, getting ready for that Giannis news. And you said then, hey, I'd go ahead, if you want to just grab a money move here, take it on Miami, because you thought it was going to get done. It did. And then we saw the numbers just get cut dramatically, as we could expect. But do they have enough now at the current price points to still be playable? Obviously, if you got the much better than number pre-Giannis trade, that makes sense. But now the way they're constructed or will be constructed, do they have enough in your eyes to actually win the East, dare I say, the NBA title?
So today they don't, but I do think that they will come the end of the week. I feel like they are going to make a lot of moves this week to try to fill out the rest of that rotation. One of the players on this notable free agents list that I'm seeing that you guys put together that I'm keeping an eye on is Zach LaVine. That's somebody that you could see opt out of his player option in Sacramento, take a longer term deal in Miami for a cheaper price, and really try to prove himself as an actual winning player. I know that that's somebody that has been viewed as an empty calories player, somebody that scores a lot on bad teams, but you put a 40% three-point shooter that can really score the basketball in a number of different ways around Giannis and Bam. That's kind of exactly what this team needs. So if they do end up losing out on Norm Powell, failing to bring him back, I think that that's somebody that they could bring into the fold for a little bit cheaper than people expect. I think I saw Rich Paul himself saying that, you know, what the Heat need is a $30 million player that's willing to play for $18 million. And I just kind of wonder if maybe that's his own client, who is Zach LaVine with Clutch Sports.
Absolutely. We can connect the dots there. No question about it. Last one from me for you on the NBA front. Is there a team that, as currently constructed, you would want to get in on a future and kind of regardless, whether it be division, conference, championship, what have you, hey, regardless of the moves that they make, you feel, I know we talked a little Nuggets looking at them where they are and kind of seeing what will transpire in the West, but any team right now, regardless of moves here moving forward, that you're like, you know what, that's a solid investment, get it in the portfolio and we can kind of move and watch what they do from here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Pacers are the one team that, like, we won't see them make many moves the rest of the offseason, and I think that they're going to be right back in the mix this season. I think I just saw, you know, Tyrese Halliburton say that he's working out without limitations, and he's feeling as good as he's felt in years, and that's somebody that obviously the last time we saw him might have been on his way to delivering, like, an all-time Game 7 performance. That's certainly the way it started out in OKC before he tore his Achilles, and that team still has seven or eight guys back from that team that went to the NBA Finals, and it was very much like the Knicks team that had just had a special collection of talent and a way of playing that, you know, was really tough for teams to cover. So Indiana, now with Ivica Zubac at the center spot, I think that that's a team that should be really, really good this year, regardless of what happens in free agency. I am looking at the Lakers, like, as another team that I am interested in, not because of what they have now, but I do think that if LeBron ends up going to Cleveland, all of a sudden you're talking about a team that has Luka, Reeves, and probably Jared Allen. And I think that Jared Allen is like the perfect Luka Doncic center. They would then be able to use some of their first round picks to go out and make some moves. So I think that that team is going to find a way to get into contention with Luka sooner rather than later, as soon as LeBron James is off the roster.
All right, let's switch the conversation to the All England Club at Wimbledon overseas. We know they're already underway. We know the Jannik Sinner is the big favorite on the men's side. This time a week ago, Serena was around 30, 35 to 1. She's drifted to 60 to 1. Zach, did they listen to you a week ago and say it's just a novelty? Nobody's betting that?
I don't know what would happen to cause her to go. I know that a lot of people are probably interested in backing her. Like, a lot of casual fans probably see Serena at that number and think, oh, I might as well throw something on this, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're trying to get some people to take some nibbles at it. But I do think Serena ultimately wins her first round match and then loses her second round match. I think the looking at the way it's going to go, I think she plays Maya Joint in the first round. Really talented player, but a young player that can get overwhelmed in the moment. And playing Serena in this comeback is going to be insane. Like, we've seen opponents at the U.S. Open just completely psych themselves out with the crowd, you know, playing a player like Serena, who, even though she has not played in a very long time, can probably serve up aces in her sleep. And these courts do, you know, favor a very good server and a powerful player. So I think she'll beat Joint and then lose to Alex Iala, who is a very, very good grass court player herself.
Zach, on the female draw side, and again, maybe we throw out just kind of the usual suspects at the top of the odds board. Anybody with value where you could buy the future price and maybe look to monetize into a quarterfinal, maybe even to a semifinal, knowing that Sabalenka is plus 350, and just kind of seeing where some of the other single number futured women are. Anyone that you would advise saying, okay, they may not win it, but they got a chance to get deep, and maybe you can kind of ping pong off of that to monetize a nice big ticket.
Yeah, so I'm sure the number's gone down a little bit because she won her first match today, but I do like Jessica Pegula to potentially win this tournament. That's somebody that has kind of been knocking on the door for years now, and it was 16-1 when I gave it out over at VSiN.com for, you know, my futures piece, and that's just somebody that I think is right there with the top-tier players in the sport, and I think that the top players in the sport, Aryna Sabalenka, Iga Świątek, Coco Gauff, Elena Rybakina, kind of the usual suspects that you were just mentioning, they have really difficult draws. So I think that there's going to be a winner in this tournament that ends up surprising people, and I don't really see any reason it can't be Pegula. Another one that I do like was Emma Navarro to win her quarter at 16-1. Another American, somebody that's played very well on grass before. Navarro's had a really weird season, kind of impacted by health issues, but last, like, 3 weeks, I think she's 6-3 on grass. She beat Iga Świątek in a really impressive win. She's kind of starting to find herself at the right time. And I think her draw to the semis is relatively reasonable.
Zach, what about, we understand Sinner at minus $1.75 is the favorite to win here without Alcaraz in this tournament. Novak is the second betting choice at 7-1. Couple of interesting Americans, not too far down the board here, and Ben Shelton at 15-1, Taylor Fritz at 16-1. Any shot for US of A, or is it going to be the short guys here, whether it's Novak or Yannick as the odds-on guy?
So I'd say if anyone has a shot, it's Taylor Fritz. I mean, Fritz is probably a top four grass court player in the world. This is his surface. The serve becomes better. The backhand becomes better. He moves well. He's solid at the net. Like, this is somebody that in his career has won a lot of grass court titles. And the only problem with Fritz is that he plays Jack Draper, one of the best players in the world, in the first round. He got a really tough draw because Draper's been dealing with injuries. So he's facing a Brit that can really play on grass as well. I actually think the winner of that match in the first round will end up winning the quarter and potentially going to the finals. So if you do take Fritz, I would also suggest taking Draper, but I do think there's a really good chance that one of those two ends up in the semis and potentially in the finals.
By the way, very quickly, we are seeing that Shams Charani is reporting that James Harden is going to decline his $42.3 million player option, which is not necessarily unexpected there in Cleveland. Zach, great stuff, man. Whether it's the NBA or certainly in Wimbledon, a very busy time for you. I know that. While other people are like, oh, slow time of the year. Not for Zach Cohen. So great job. Hardwood Handicappers, check out that podcast. And we'll be talking a lot more tennis here over the course of the next 2 weeks. But when we come back here, gentlemen, let's get into it. Major League Baseball, some changing numbers there after what we saw this weekend. The Daily Diamond, it's up next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. It is all over in Cromwell, Connecticut. They have come back for one hole, and it's over after one. Victor Hovland has won the last elevated event. Jensen, they go back to play 18. Both guys stripe their drives right down the middle of the fairway. Scotty is away, sticks his approach to about 4 feet from the naked eye here, and then Victor on top of it to about 10 feet. So he's away.
Wow.
And then what happens? Victor slides in his 10-footer for birdie, and Scottie Scheffler misses the shorty, and you've got Victor Hovland as the champion. So it looked like we're going to have birdie, but both these guys, man, they came out firing. Tip your cap to Victor Hovland. And by the way, I would love to have seen the live number after Scottie's approach here on 18, because Jensen, it looked like he had birdie right in the jaws, but it's Victor Hovland as the winner of the last elevated event.
Unbelievable. Great tournament. Well done all the way around, and a Monday morning finish here on VSiN by the Books. Always love to see it.
Now, one hole is all it was necessary. I would have been curious to see if they went back and played 18 again, but it's all over after one. Lots to be decided, certainly in the world of baseball. Let's take a look at some of those changing numbers here, whether it's MVP and or the Cy Young. We'll do that now in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, you mentioned this certainly earlier in the program here in the National League when it comes to the Cy Young. And Zach Wheeler feels like a name that might be taking on a little bit of steam at this point here. Paul Skeens, certainly not his best days here recently. Shohei Ohtani drifted back in the marketplace here. When you look at a guy like Wheeler, and we know how tough this market is in the National League specifically to handicap, what do you like about the number? Do you think it's a good number at this juncture?
I don't know necessarily if I like it or I dislike it, but it was an intriguing article by Aaron Moore, one of our great contributors there at VSiN.com. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you saw that this was a feature that Bill AD had included in the email. And I just wanted to take a little bit of a deeper dive to see what Aaron felt. And I think he's on to something here where when you look at it since joining the Phillies in 2020, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase here from Aaron's article, Zach Wheeler has received Cy Young votes five times, including two second place finishes. He's currently 8-1 with a 2.03 ERA, and at 30-1, Aaron says it feels like this is, you know, one of those spots where there's a lot of juice behind Wheeler, not only in the statistics, but also in the national media. And he does bring up a point you and I also love to look at, too. Narrative-based awards. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jacob Mizorowski has had a phenomenal season. Should he be over a $2 betting favorite? I think that's a little rich for my blood. I get where the statistics are. But how many times, Dave, have we seen a closing crescendo from a big name, and we are just a year removed from Zach Wheeler entering the later portion of the second half of the season before the injury, where he was in very much that front runner conversation for the Cy Young Award. Again, we look at teams where they're trending upwards. If you're in the top echelon, you're going to get a lot of not only local but national media exposure. And that sort of plays into where Aaron Moore is looking at not only what the number is at 30-1, what the statistics are so far, but also where you are getting talked about, that name recognition, et cetera. I like his rationale. Taking a stab on a guy at 30-1 in that ilk, absolutely can understand why you'd want to make the investment, if nothing more than this is pretty cool. If you've got a free bet out there, as Aaron kind of alludes to, if you have a boost that you can take that number and make it an even longer price, I think that's unique in that National League Cy Young market.
In the American League MVP, and obviously with Aaron Judge, you know, in his absence, it looked like as long as he had stayed healthy, he was going to win that award. He's drifted to 250-1, obviously, with all this time that he's missed. And Yordan Alvarez has just stepped into the gap here, minus $1.55 now here on DraftKings to win this award, odds on. I guess the concern would be, would they trade Alvarez before the trade deadline, potentially to a National League team? Like, Jensen, that is one thing. If you're looking to bet Alvarez, you should be a little bit leery of not knowing what the future holds there in H-Town.
So the name that I want to bring up is Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays, on an absolute heater in his own right now. Homers in four consecutive games, Tampa Bay back into first place by virtue of a sweep over the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Yankees getting swept in a four-game sweep at the hands of their arch rival in the Boston Red Sox. Junior Caminero sitting at 20-1 right now on DraftKings. And the names in front of him, you mentioned Yordan, who is odds on right now at $1.55. Nick Kurtz has been fantastic, plus 250. Bobby Witt Jr. right now, Dave, according to Fangraphs, the highest offensive wins above replacement of any position player in the American League. He's at 4.3. Yordan is at 3.6. Junior Caminero is at 2.8. Now, I bring it up because in the same, you know, kind of idea that Aaron Moore was looking at Zach Wheeler in the national narrative, if Tampa Bay is leading the American League East, and by virtue could be the number one seed in the American League postseason, aren't we going to get some of the, hey, best player on the best team, and it's in a division that gets all the national headlines, knowing with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, you're going to have plenty of focal points that are honed right in on the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, Dave, as we begin play today, they're in first place, as I mentioned, and I think this would be an add to the portfolio of looking at a guy in Junior Caminero who right now has 22 home runs. Yordan Alvarez has 25. Junior Caminero, 52 RBI. Yordan has 58. There's only three players. Actually, I should take that back. There's four players. Actually, five. Okay. There are five players with 20 or more homers right now in the American League. Byron Buxton leads the category at 25, tied with Yordan Alvarez. Junior Caminero, Ben Rice have 22 apiece. And then Colson Montgomery with the Chicago White Sox has 20. This is a play, again, on the narrative side, but also the crescendo of where Caminero He's a showman. He's got personality. He's going to attract people talking about him. And Dave, how many times have we seen where people will go back to best player on the best team? If that's the case, then I think you would want to get a little bit of Junior Caminero 20-1 for American League MVP in pocket right now.
Yeah, the numbers have come way down now in the Rays with this hot streak here and the Yankees cool streak. They're plus 210 to win the division. You would think, boy, the Rays won it, and Caminero is the driving force behind it. And the names ahead of him on non-winning teams like Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Kurtz, and Yordan Alvarez, yeah, I think that could be a really good price point here on the Caminero side to hop in. But again, Yordan Alvarez, if you're looking to back him, just remember, people, he might not be on this roster if they decide to move him. Then he goes to the National League. That bet would be cooked. You've got some bets already in pocket here today, Jensen, for VSiN Pro subscribers. I thought you put the Nats on the no-fly zone. Are they back below the hard decks today?
New week, new feel, and this is more of a situational spot, and we hope it's advantageous considering what the Nats have done to us at least this past week. Okay, the Red Sox, an incredibly emotional win last night, an emotional four-game sweep of their hated arch rival, the New York Yankees. Let's match it up with a situational spot that I think could be advantageous for us. Let's play the Nationals at plus one. That's actually at a plus price, plus 105 in Fenway Park tonight. They are 30-13. The Nats are, David, covering the run line as a road team. That is the best mark in Major League Baseball. We're going to play an under, but an alternate under nine to spit the hook here at minus $1.48. A lot of 8.5s out there, so I want to give us a little clearance knowing how awful that Nationals bullpen has been. Now, what we like here is that when the Red Sox are a home team, which they are tonight, they're 24-15-2 to the under, and they got a great arm on the mound tonight in Ranger Suarez. So I think you're going to have a couple of things coming to a head here. Nats on the road, been great, and we get a little breathing room with the plus one, and we'll also enter on under nine for an alternate total to back two teams that should keep this one close tonight.
You know, we talk about it a lot, Jensen. I'll ask you again, because I think a lot of people are going to go, man, I certainly want to back the Red Sox now that they've won four games in a row here against their arch enemies in the Yankees. Carry that over. It's a Sunday night into Monday. Here come the Nats, scuffling as of late. That momentum in Major League Baseball in those clubhouses, that is a tangible thing.
Absolutely. And again, just what you expended to get through not only the weekend, but just last night and knowing how it transpired. Heck, we were in no-hitter territory with Sonny Gray. All of a sudden, that goes by the wayside. To that end, Dave, I'd also look at backing an under as the Yankees return home tonight to take on a Tiger team that will have Casey Mize on the hill. How about the last nine consecutive starts by Casey Mize? The under has hit for the Detroit Tigers. Back that up with Ryan Weathers pitching on the other side. He has been really sharp his last two starts, a .146 ERA. I think we play the under eight, minus $1.25 for Tigers Yankees in that series opener at Yankee Stadium tonight.
All right, we'll get your full card here coming up a little bit later on in Best Bets here on the Major League Baseball docket. And also, again, VSiN Pro subscribers will have access to all that information as well. But when we come back, let's get to the king of Connecticut and see what's on the brilliant mind of one Will Hill. That is next right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Always love catching up with the king of Connecticut, the one and only Will Hill. He is the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. You hear that on the network. Please like and subscribe as well. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Will, as we quote unquote reach the dog days of summer, I got to think this is the best time to have some of the more interesting guests that you have on to kind of fill in those times. Who do you have on the big show coming up this week for the people?
It's a great question. John Jastrzemski was on the episode that came out today. I had Steve Phillips on Friday. So I take it one day at a time, Steve. Dave, I take it one day at a time. Steve, I would say, gave a very interesting answer, though. And I'm curious what you guys think of this. I asked him if he was Brian Cashman, how he would handle, you know, the trade deadline, what he would do. Maybe the answer is different after this series in Boston. But he said he would call the Padres and convince them that they have enough relief pitching, They need offense. They need power. And he said, I'll give you Spencer Jones. I'll give you Dominguez, but I want Mason Miller, which, you know, before the weekend, you know, the Yankees seem like maybe bullpen and closer is all they need. I still think they probably need another bat or two, but hey, you can't get everything. You can't add everything. I don't buy this idea that, you know, they need Schuble or they're in on Schuble, but it was interesting to get Steve's perspective on that.
I'm with you. I don't think that the Yankees need Schuble, and that's kind of crazy to say. I think there's plenty there. Like if you're going to allocate your, if you can allocate your resources, Will, I'm with you that you want to take a shot on high upside Dominguez, Jones. You can find a package to get a reliever and a back end one at that. And just obviously what we just saw at Fenway Park, I think they could use that for sure. Did he go into any detail? We were in the same Dynasty Fantasy League. Did he go into a guy that he has in TJ Rumfield there with the Colorado Rockies, a very, very hot player right now, youngster? I think you might have a market wager on that gentleman there for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I was just looking over all these markets. It was interesting. You know, we're halfway through the year. All six major awards, both MVPs, both Cy Young, both Rookie of the Years, all six have an odds on favorite, which is, I would think, unusual. I don't remember. You know, the midway point, you know, it's not unusual to have one or two or maybe three that are odds on, but to have all six markets odds on with this much time to go is unusual. And I looked at Rumfield, where Weatherholt for the Cardinals is odds on -155. If you look at his stats and just the basic stats, which I think is what the voters mostly look at, 12 homers, 245 batting average, and 35 RBIs, where TJ Rumfield, 12 homers, 294 batting average, and 10 more RBIs. So Rumfield, even with homers, he's got him by some points here in batting average, and he's got 10 more RBIs. So I know maybe you dock him a little bit because he's playing in Coors Field, and he's an older guy. It took a while for him to break through, but I'm just surprised that 30-1, one guy's 30-1 with better stats than the guy that's odds on, still plenty of time left. If you just, you know, you project that forward, that's a, you know, almost a 300 season, 25 homers, almost 100 RBIs. I mean, that's a hell of a year for Rumfield. So I'm just surprised. I think that's mispriced at 30-1. So that is one I'm going to add here and take a shot. I don't think I have anything on National League Rookie of the Year pending, but I'm going to jump in here with Rumfield.
First game of the day here in the American League is going to be Shane Baz and the Orioles hosting the White Sox here. And you've got a first five play on this. Is this a play against Baz or a play more on the Southsiders?
Yeah, a little bit of a play against Baz, but I just continue to think the White Sox, who got me yesterday, I lost with them yesterday, but I just continue to think they're underrated, undervalued, and I'm happy to take the run, the half a run in the first five. They are a plus price if you want to take them for the full game, which I can't argue against. I think they got a pitching matchup. You got a plus price. That's a lot right there, but I'll lay the $1.30. I'll take the half a run in the first five. You know, I always say 2-2 after five is a very common, very possible score. I like winning on that half a run. That half a run is so valuable in the first five. So laying $1.30, I think, is a reasonable price to lay here, and I'll take that half a run.
I love it. Great way to attack it. White Sox continue to be pests atop the AL Central. They in Cleveland now, a statistical tie for the top spot entering play today. Also a team that's on the rise here. The Detroit Tigers have kind of figured a few things out a little bit. They stay close, not only in the American League wildcard race. Can they stay close tonight? Casey Mize, last nine starts, nine unders in the games that he's pitched in. They head to the Bronx to take on your Yankees tonight. Pretty good matchup. Ryan Weathers on the mound too. Another little alternate total or first three that you like here tonight, Will?
Yeah, I'll go first three under 2.5. And I've been playing these more and more. I just want to get in, get out. I don't want to deal with the bullpens, which we saw last night. And that's, as you know, Jensen, that was a very tough under if you had the full game. And even the first five can be tough where you get through that second, third time of the lineup. A lot of times that fourth, fifth inning is where all hell breaks loose. That first three, you just deal with that lineup one time. You get in, you get out, and I'll go under 2.5. Plus, you throw in the fact, guys, that Mize and Weathers both saw these lineups just last week, their last time through the rotation. Now, I always think that's an advantage to the hitter. I guess some of the stats don't bear that out, where there's no advantage either way. I would think, and I'm curious what you think, Jensen, as a former pitcher, a hitter sees you a few days ago and he sees you again, that's got to be the advantage to the hitter. But I guess the stats don't really bear that out. But either way, I would go under 2.5 in the first three. Just get in, get out. Only see that lineup one time, especially when they just saw him recently. And Mize is finally starting to show a little bit of the promise, former number one pick. Not going to be that dominant starter you hoped when you picked him that high, but you know, weak contact, good expected ERA. Weathers, there's some concern in the profile about some hard contact, some barrels, but gets a lot of strikeouts, gets a lot of swings and misses, doesn't walk people. So I think, especially without Judge here, you're starting to see some cracks in that Yankee lineup, and I think an under is a good way to attack it.
Well, Will, to that end, and I'm fascinated with the conversation you had with Steve Phillips from a GM's perspective. You see the Yankees are still over a $2 betting favorite to win this division, although Tampa Bay feels like the team that just won't go away. Would you be nervy at this juncture that the Yankees actually will not win this division? And would you look at the Rays at plus 210 here as we get ready to turn the page to July and say, yeah, they've got real staying power?
I think the Yankees win the division. I would probably need more than plus 210 on Tampa. It's interesting. The swings in this race where Tampa around Memorial Day had like a 6 or 7 game lead, and then the Yankees stormed past them. It looked like the Yankees were just going to run away and hide. And then the Rays get hot, the Yankees get cold, as we know, and we say this all the time, but baseball is a very long season, a lot of ups and downs. I think the Yankees will, A, get reinforcements, deadline, injuries. I mean, they basically have 3 Hall of Famers on the IL right now with Judge, who's obviously a lock Hall of Famer. Stanton's probably like 60-40 Hall of Famer, then Freed, probably on the wrong side of it. But you get the idea. They got a lot of talent on the IL. But you get those guys back at some point. You get some reinforcements at the deadline. I think the Yankees will win the division. I don't really want to lay the minus 230, but I don't really want to take the 2-1 on Tampa. I'd probably need 3 or 4-1 to jump in on Tampa, but man, they played well. Cameron Arrows had a hell of a stretch here, a hell of a run, and that team is feisty, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I just talked about Cameron Arrow and maybe a little pizza money play at 20-1 for AL MVP, just depending on will Yordan Alvarez be wearing an Astros uniform after August 3rd for the trade deadline. We'll kind of see where the American League shapes up. Where you also are looking at a rookie of the year market on the association side, Keaton Wagler, a backcourt phenom there for Illinois, now a member here in the association. I had to double take to look at the price, but 30-1, you like an investment on Keaton Wagler there for NBA rookie of the year.
Sounds like Kawhi Leonard's going to get traded. And if Leonard gets traded, that doesn't leave that much on that team. You know, Darius Garland, but he's hurt a lot. He's got the foot issues. This award is so much about just usage and opportunity and just, you know, raw points, raw volume. And if there's no Kawhi, that really opens up a lot of shots, a lot of usage for Wagler. You look at those other guys, and the favorites are the rightful favorites, but betting this time of the year, and we're still in June, and you're not going to cash this ticket till next May. Do you really want to bet these guys 2-1, 3-1? I know Acuff, people have made the case 4-1. I get just, pure value standpoint, Acuff at 4-1 is okay, but and you're tying up your money or your credit for a very long time for a 3 or 4-1. I don't want to do that. I think Wagler with Kawhi out the door here could be live here to have a big rookie season.
Well, where are you now on Miami after the Giannis trade? And like, do they have enough? The number's just been cut ridiculously, obviously, with that news. And like Boston, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Jaylen Brown. Is there any play that you think right now is playable, or is it kind of that wait and see approach?
Miami probably doesn't have enough, not enough depth, not enough shooting, especially Giannis is 32, going to be 32, I think, by the time the season starts or a month or so into the season. I mean, we know it, guys, with the NBA, these guys get hurt all the time. It's more of a depth league. You need bodies. They just don't have a lot of bodies. So I would be less optimistic on Giannis. I do think Giannis will come to Miami, new lease on life, new team, hasn't had a healthy full season in a while. He got to rest a lot last year. I think he'll have a new lease on life, and you'll get a big season from him. But I'm concerned, lack of depth, lack of shooting. The team I thought was undervalued was Charlotte, but Charlotte is interesting. You have the best season they've had in basically, franchise history, 20 years or whatever it is, and they just completely, rejigger the team. They get rid of LaMelo Ball, which I don't have a problem with. They trade Bridges, but Charlotte around 100-1. Could they get in and, win a round? Obviously, they're not, a title contender, but that's a team I still think is maybe a little undervalued.
Yeah, bizarre after kind of the good vibes that they had going last year at the end of the year, and then make these big-time moves here to the roster. We'll see what that looks like. Great stuff. Everybody, check it out. The Should Have Been More podcast. It is, in all seriousness, a great listen. Will Hill, we appreciate your time. As always, our best bets are coming up next right here. VSiN by the Books.
in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out right now. So whether you're going to bet those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, rookie of the year, or you just already got your set sight on the Super Bowl, our guide is going to help you get ready for the market before the training camps even begin for these NFL teams. Inside of it, you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, feature analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get with full access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. We're talking about NBA free agency, and there is another move that Shams Charania has just broken here from ESPN. Zach LaVine not going to Miami, opting in to his $49 million player option for this upcoming season. So looks like he's staying right there in Sacramento, unless you wanted to do some sort of trade. But at least as far as out, not opting out, he will be taking that $49 million. Here, Jensen, I guess what we've seen this before historically, right? Where you had like the Heatles down there with LeBron and Chris and Bosh, and they're like, well, how do we fill out the rest of the roster? That's going to be the question now with Giannis in Miami. This is one of those pieces that maybe felt like a fit for Miami, and it's now off the board.
It is. Again, so we'll keep the eyes all over where NBA free agency and all these other dominoes that may fall here tomorrow. Of course, we're expecting a lot of movement later on this afternoon, and we'll recap that all tomorrow morning. So watchful eye, my friend. You got a treat this morning with a little playoff golf on a Monday. Shocking result that you want to let people know who are just joining the program what happened earlier this morning.
I'm sure Scottie Scheffler saying, wait, I woke up for that one hole. Both guys, Victor Hovland, Scottie Scheffler, in that one hole playoff, striped their tee shots. And I do appreciate I got the message on X, because I was asking after the approach shots on 18, which Scottie stuck it inside of 5 feet. I was curious what the live number was. Apparently at that point, Victor Hovland, after his approach, by the way, ended up about 10 feet away. So great approach shot by Victor. He was about plus $1.80, because the thought process was that certainly Victor Hovland would have the tougher of the two putts, a little bit of a slider. Well, he slid his right in, and guess what? Scottie Scheffler misses his short birdie putt over after one hole. And you could have gotten today Victor Hovland about plus $1.20, $1.30 out there in the marketplace. $1.45 was the betting favorite. I felt like that was properly lined for Scottie Scheffler. He played the hole perfectly, just missed the shorty. We will not see Victor Hovland nor Scottie Scheffler until the Renaissance Club over there in Scotland in a couple weeks before the Scottish Open, and then the British Open in 3 weeks. And by the way, they do say Renaissance Club. We always try to Americanize this thing, Jensen, somehow go Renaissance Club. No. It's just the Renaissance Club over there, but we like to really make it sound better over there for the Scottish Open here in a couple of weeks. You've got some plays on the diamond for the people, so let's fill out that card that you've already got out there for VSiN Pro subscribers.
Yeah, we got a couple of totals, some run lines here, and just looking through some of the early part of the docket here. We begin with the Nationals and the Red Sox. And again, a lot of this predicated off of the emotional weekend that Boston just went through, and even just into last night, late hours of the evening, the wee hours of the morning, however you want to look at it. Red Sox completing a four-game sweep of the arch rival New York Yankees. We are going to play the Nationals plus +1, an alternate run line. That's at plus $1.05 on DraftKings, Dave. They are 30-13 covering the run line as a road team, best mark in Major League Baseball. Also going to play an under -9, so an under an alternate under at minus $1.48. So under -9 there, a lot of 8.5s out. We know how bad the Washington bullpen has been, so I want to at least try and get an opportunity. If we need the push, we've got an opportunity to get that home. It is Ranger Suarez on the hill for the Boston Red Sox tonight. So off that emotional win, maybe we get a little bit tighter contest tonight. And the Nats have proven equal to the task on the road as a road dog. So I think we're going to have a tight game there tonight with a chance to win it outright. Also, those Yankees who get swept, they go back home and welcome in a little bit more of the surging Detroit Tigers. They've certainly played better as of late. And we may see some run suppression here at the stadium tonight. Under 8 minus $1.25 is what we're going to play for the Tigers and the Yankees. Dave, the last 9 starts that Casey Mize has taken the ball for the Detroit Tigers, 9 consecutive unders have hit. And he'll be matched up with Ryan Weathers, who has been much better and cleaner his last couple of times. Last 2 starts, a .146 ERA there for the Bronx Bombers. So under 8. Minus $1.25 there tonight. One other one I'll throw at you, and we'll get some of your thoughts on some of the other spots here today. Rangers and Guardians. Guardians, by virtue of a late comeback, the Mariner bullpen yesterday kind of fell all over themselves, and so the under gets blown apart, and the Guardians actually come back to win that series over the weekend. Let's go back to the under, but we're going to play another alternate under 8.5 minus $1.45. Rangers Guardians under is hitting 3 of the last 4 starts by Parker Messick, who's been one of the best starters for the Guardians this year. So we'll run that lefty out there and hope for some run suppression. There are 7.5s out there, Dave. I just wanted a little bit extra cushion here because the Ranger offense has shown in certain spurts that they can get going. I'm not as worried about the Guardian offense. Still a shell themselves without Jose Ramirez. They did get Chase DeLauder back yesterday, and he ends up getting the game winning or go ahead hit for them in the late frame. So under 8.5, an alternate total for Texas and Cleveland at Progressive Field tonight.
I thought it was a great conversation we had with Will Hill, and please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast, and you can listen on your own time. And I brought up the Yankees, now that the Rays, that kind of keep flip-flopping back here in the division. And the Yankees, I think they were as high as $5 betting favorites to win this division not that long ago. Now they're still over $2 betting favorite. And Will's point, Jensen, was he doesn't want to lay it with the Yankees, but he doesn't feel like it's long enough for the Rays now at plus 210 to win this division. And with all due respect to Toronto, Baltimore, and certainly the Red Sox, it feels like just a 2-horse race at this juncture as we get ready to turn the page to July. What do you make of the price point? Not that necessarily, as to Will's point, that there's a bet to be made there. Do you think the prices are fair where they currently are constructed?
Probably for the Yankees, it might be a bit too heavy for me as far as where the division is in the American League East. I would rather have the Rays at a little over 2-1, just kind of knowing where they've stood up and, you know, been kind of a thorn and really coming into Tropicana Field. I believe they still have yet to lose a game against an American League East opponent. And so that has really been another differentiator for them here in 2026. I was just kind of taking a gander at some of the other divisional prices. Speaking of, would you want to get invested in the National League East on the Phillies at plus $1.70? Braves still a $2 favorite. Phillies now 3 games back beginning play today. They have surged here in the last month and have really closed the gap. Any enticement there by the Phillies, or would you rather pivot and get them at a National League price of 6-1? My thought process behind that would be you've got an opportunity should they qualify, and if they get a top 2 seed, just looking at where the market is right now, they are 47-37. Right now, the top 2 seeds would be the Dodgers at 54-30, Brewers at 50-31. But you've made up all this ground. You're 10 games over .500. You won 7 of your last 10. Would you want to get invested at a National League price for the Phillies at 6-1?
I do. I think that's probably where I'd pivot. And look, can the Braves hold on, get reinforcements, and look like the team we saw at the first couple months of the season? Possibly. But it feels like that train is out of the station here for Philadelphia, and I don't know that there's any stopping it at this point. I like that idea, Jensen, because look, even if they don't, they're going to get a wild card. We think they'd be a dangerous out regardless, but it's going to look a whole lot better if they are one of those top 2 seeds in the National League at that price point that you just mentioned there, around 6-1. I think that's the way I'd play the Phillies today, because it just feels like they got some not only serious mojo going, they got real talent again. I know it's older talent, but you see what Schwarber's doing. You see what Zach Wheeler's doing coming off the blood clots, very dangerous injury from a year ago. And you see what Harper's doing. These guys are getting, I don't know if it's one last hurrah, but they're playing like it. and you're starting to get vintage years out of those three guys, that's a really good big three going forward. I think better than certainly what the Braves would have. And you could put on par certainly with Milwaukee, and or the big, you know, the elephant in the room here is the Dodgers going forward. But you'd like to have that 6-1 in pocket if that's what it comes down to. Jensen, you and I will break down the most wins here in the month of July coming up soon. And so will our buddies Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin. They're going to do that today on their show. And if you want more VEASAN, you've been watching here, certainly on FanDuel Sports Network and YouTube TV, go to VEASAN.com, the VEASAN Watch app. And the boys are back. Yes, Kelly Bidwin is back with Gil Alexander, a numbers game. They're up next.